Welcome to Wild Hearts at Work, a podcast redefining our relationship with work through stories and conversations with wild hearts who have dared to challenge the status quo. And now, here's your host, Melissa Boggs.
Hello, friends, and welcome back to the Wild Hearts at Work podcast. I am your host, Melissa Boggs, and this week we're going to talk about something that might surprise you, which is wild-hearted finance. And I am super excited to invite to the show the founder of The Freelance CFO and TikTok viral sensation, Caitlin Magnuson. Caitlin, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
We have so much to talk about. Because there are several topics, all of which are going to resonate with the listeners. Let's just start by telling people about the Freelance CFO, what you do, and sort of what led you to that role.
Yeah, so the Freelance CFO is a full-service financial and accounting firm, primarily for millennials, although we work with really anyone that we resonate with. And we do bookkeeping, business registration, outsourced CFO services, and personal finance, as well as coaching, courses, and masterminds. And I worked in sales tax and bookkeeping and small business and other CFO tasks in the past, and ended up really wanting something where finances could feel approachable and we could drop a lot of the shame, a lot of the scarcity, a lot of the very Dave Ramsey-esque. I know everyone harps on him, and for good reason, and there are others in the space as well. But that very traditional, you know, cishet, white, privileged individual that doesn't take anyone else's life experiences into consideration. And so we work with people really from all walks of life, and I wanted a place that was safe, where we could have shame-free discussions with our clients, because I know the more that we talk about money, the more that we talk about topics that have been made, you know, taboo, especially for women, the more that we're able to advocate for ourselves and the more knowledge that we have, the more power that we have in making decisions.
I'm sold. No, really, I looked at your website, and like even just your website is a little bit of a middle finger to tradition, you know? And I love that because it is a new world, if you will. You know, we're in a place now where people always have, let's be honest. We're recognizing that people have different experiences and they come to money from different places. And so I love, like, you have some things on your website, you might have to help me here, but like, it's okay if ...
Right. It's okay if you have debt, student loans, like credit card debt. There are all these things that I think we feel crappy about or have been made to feel crappy about. Maybe you didn't finish your degree and you have student loans from it. Like, who cares? You probably learned something from it. And like that debt served the purpose. So let's like let go of the shame and let's make a plan moving forward.
Amazing. And you mentioned when we kind of had our pre-podcast talk that you'd had a lot of corporate jobs prior to this. So you made a decision to kind of walk away from what may have been a very lucrative, you know, corporate career because you believed in this so much, I have to assume.
Yeah. several reasons. I teetered back and forth for a few years because it was just too easy to hop back into that world, especially when you're the primary earner. But I ended up being done a little bit before the pandemic. I was laid off, which was fantastic. I was so ready to be done. I've been putting it out there. You know, I wouldn't be upset if I wasn't here anymore. I wouldn't be upset. And then the pandemic hit, and a week later, I was out because I was one of the highest paid employees, which is kind of a great problem to have, but also really puts you up there to be on the chopping block. And I have never looked back. Like it's been amazing because I had my business full time all throughout. It's been in some form for the last 10 years been in a full time capacity for over 5, but it was just feeling stable. And, you know, I think a lot of us want to have a day job or a corporate job for stability. But at the end of the day, my last job gave me 2 days notice. I have never, I mean, knock on wood here, the odds of that happening in your business are so much lower. And I have always felt like I can bet on myself. My income sources are not all going to disappear tomorrow. Even if, you know, something happens or we have a couple clients drop off, there will always be something there. And so for me, that actually feels much more stable. But it's also so much easier for me to do this because I'm so passionate about A, culture, and B, what we provide for our clients. And it's really been, I didn't realize that the culture thing was such a game changer, because for me, it was just how it was going to be. You know, I wasn't going to bring employees on that if we didn't have something that I would want to be doing and I would want to be working at. But my biggest issue is all through these corporate jobs, you know, a lot of times clients were just another number. Sometimes they were cared about, but we would have so many other issues. You know, you're working with lawyers, with accountants, and you're working in areas where there's a lot of patronizing and there's a lot of being talked down to and belittling, both in the organization and to clients outside of the organization. And I was really tired of that.
Sure. I think that's probably something that a lot of people listening right now can resonate with in one way or another. So you've had this business for several years, but the pandemic kind of put you in a position to make a decision, right? Because you still could have gone and, you know, gotten another job. Someone with your experience, you could have said, oh no, I'm going to stick with this and get a different job. But you bet on yourself. And first of all, I just love that. So kudos to you from a complete stranger. But it's funny how when we bet on ourselves, things happen for us, right? So you built your business yourself. So I'm not taking that, any of that away from you. But there was a moment in the last couple of months that led us to this podcast. And that is that because you bet on yourself and on your employees by virtue of your cultural philosophies, and then you shared those on TikTok, you went viral.
Yep.
And that's part of why we're here, but I want to get to that in a minute. But can you tell us about what was in the video that you shared on TikTok and kind of just take us through that week or the weeks after? Because this is just fascinating, everyone.
It was quite the whirlwind. So I had been really remiss at posting on TikTok regularly. You know, you're using a channel, you're supposed to be doing it regularly and all those things that you're told. And I was like, you know what? I come back from a vacation. I was like, I need to do it. So I was just doom scrolling TikTok, as one will do, and came across a video from someone that said, you know, hey, basically stitch this. What does it look like? Or I wonder what it would look like in a woman-owned company. And I was like, oh God, this is a really easy one. I'm a projector. So for me, the invitation was very clear, hopped in there, did one take, you know, stitch that, and just talked about like, hey, at the Freelance CFO, you know, we have a less than 40-hour work week. We have, you know, most of our employees work 25 to 30 hours, and we have it. They work flexible hours. We don't set the days that they need to work. There's a lot of autonomy and, you know, self-responsibility provided for all of our employees. And we just make sure they're getting their, like, they get their shit done. That's why they're here. You know, that's why they're with us, because at the end of the day, we want people that want to be here, and we want people that are really interested in what they're doing. And I'm a firm believer that we don't need to be working a 40-hour work week. And it's been shown time and time again that a 40-hour work week is not as efficient as working fewer hours. And in subsequent videos, you know, we ended up chatting about like, well, benefits or pay. Well, we pay a full-time salary, and we, you know, like full-time livable salary and full benefits, you know, PTO, the flex work hours, because there's just, I think it's time we stop treating employees like children that need to be managed, and we treat them like the adults that they actually are. And it's, I'm shocked that it's a novel concept. But at the same time, I'm not shocked because I've experienced that exact same thing in a corporate setting. And for me, we have employees that time track, which I got a little bit of negative feedback on. It wasn't my idea for them to time track, but we have so many employees that are used to working more than 40 hours. And so they had suggested that they wanted to time track in order to hold themselves accountable, to stay under the hours and to honor what I had asked. And so we're able to use that as a metric. If they're hitting more than 32 hours, more than a couple weeks in a row, we're having a conversation like, hey, do we need to be hiring someone else? Do we need to be changing something? You know, where are we having some efficiencies? And it really fosters good conversation and keeps them from burning out.
I'm sorry. Did you hear the like yells and screams of all of my listeners, like screaming amen or whatever their version of that is?
Well, I think that's why the response, I mean, we had people verbally or text climbing over each other and they were like, hey, I'm here. I'm yelling louder. Pick me. And the response was just like, I did something, you know, I literally auto captioned it and posted it. It was 2 minutes of my life. And I don't know. I think we had 4,000 or 5,000, 6,000 comments. I haven't checked recently because I keep getting comments still even now. But we had over 1,000 people like apply to work with us. We can't, I mean, we're not a large enough firm, maybe someday. And it was like, the response was just overwhelming. It was, you know, either skepticism of you can't do this, like how would this work? Or it was, oh my God, please hire me now. You know, I have a chronic illness. I have kids. Like this would work so much better with my, you know, neurodivergence. Like this would be so great. Look at this. And it was both validating for me because, hey, great. Like social media validation, this is insane. And also really sad that for me, something that was so important, but also so simple, like the bar is literally on the ground. Mm-hmm. There are so many other things that we're looking to do with additional benefits and performance coaching and therapy and, you know, like everything else to help from a holistic standpoint. And for me, this is really the bare minimum. And the fact that people are like, we had some sob stories come in, you know, this really touched a nerve for people. And it was just sad that like, I can do that. And it has such a big reaction.
Sure. So can you share some of the skepticism and like some of the negative feedback that you got? Because I'm willing to bet that some of the listeners have actually heard that themselves when they try to propose things like this.
Yeah. So a couple of them, and I ended up, you know, milking this for response videos because it was great. It actually gave me a ton of content. But one of them was like, well, what do you do when people call the office? Well, we don't have an office phone. And we also don't accept unscheduled calls. Like the way that we've structured our business, because for a long time it was just me. And so the way that we've structured it is like we do scheduled calls. We have Voxer and email. And, you know, that allows for fluid communication between the team members. And then another one was like, well, what do you do when you need team meetings? Well, one, we coordinate. Two, we don't have all staff meetings at this point in time. Like we had a retreat actually about a month ago where everyone was out here and we did 4 days together. But outside of that, there's nothing that has been needed to be communicated that we can't do either via an email or via a meeting with the people that actually need to be there. Because I'm sure we've all had meetings about meetings or meetings that could have been an email or meetings that really had no point. And that was something that I didn't want to bring in here. And God, what are the other ones? How do you actually get all your work done?
Wait,
literally it's like proven like you can absolutely work more than 40 hours. And I've done that, but like your efficiency drops dramatically. So I would rather you get your work done and it incentivizes, right? If you don't have to have like butt in seat for 40 hours and you're free to go after you've gotten everything done. One of the things was, well, yeah, but in the past when I've been efficient, I've just gotten more, which I've seen happen. And we don't do that. If something goes onto your plate, something comes off your plate or goes to someone else within reason. There's always like a 3-month training window, right? Where someone's getting up to speed. And once we're able to sort of assess where they're at, we then, you know, juggle accordingly, but it's a really open line of conversation. A, if you're overwhelmed, B, if you're, you know, kicking ass, then we're going to A, discuss performance, you know, et cetera. And B, if you want to take more on, then there's compensation accordingly.
So yeah, I want to point out, and you've said it all just now, but I want to like highlight the fact that in order for this to work, there is so much underlying that makes it possible, right? There's trust from you as the leader, but there's also trust of the, you know, from the employees to you that they have the autonomy that you say that they have, right? And that you're going to have these courageous conversations, which don't always happen. Right? How often do we just ignore the performance issue? And I'm putting this in air quotes until it becomes some big problem. And then the person loses their job when maybe a conversation could have highlighted for us an impediment that we could have gotten out of their way and everybody would have been happier. Right? So in order for this, you know, 32-hour work week to work, there is a lot of work and trust on your part and on their part to make it happen. But I have to imagine that it's well worth it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, One of my main humans that, you know, we work with here, she came, there's almost like a detox period when you come from a traditional employer. And the first few months she was here, she was working three jobs before she came on. She was working 60, 70 hour weeks. Because we were paying an actual livable salary, she was able to leave all of those, which is great. And she kind of had a hot second where she was like, whoa, I need a break for a second. And that was something I didn't anticipate. And so that's something that we're actually building in a little bit, is like during that training period, I think we're going to end up bringing on people that have come from these high performing environments, or they're high performers themselves that have either been taken advantage of, allowed themselves to be taken advantage of, you know, really done above and gone above and beyond with where they've been. And it takes a second when they're in an environment that's supportive, A, for them to trust, and B, to actually understand that they can communicate, because there's being told, hey, when you feel overwhelmed, like we need to be having a conversation, or hey, we're going to use these metrics, or hey, let's establish this. And then there's the reality of it actually happening. And so it relies really heavily on me to step into a leadership role, which has been a big change. You know, it's been me, and I'm really motivated, and I'm driven, I'm neurodivergent myself. And so like ping ponging all around has been just kind of my nature. And now it had like, it looks to me, the company culture, core values, like I work on that a lot with a performance coach so that I can be here for my employees, for my team, so that I can actually show up in the way that they need and make sure that they're getting the information, the trust, the support, and not just like, oh, we're going to send you to a training class. No, you're overwhelmed. Okay. Is it because you haven't been trained properly or fully? Is it because you have taken on 10 extra clients because we went viral from TikTok? Like, hey, let's have a real example. Like, let's have a conversation and let's find support. And it's also reminding, like, hey, you can delegate. You don't have to take all of this on yourself. We have part-time team members that have capacity. Like, let's shuffle some things, and kind of pulling that from them, because a lot of times they'll hold on to it because they're like, no, I have to do all the things. I'm like, no, but you don't have to anymore. It's okay. You get to have a life and be a human.
I'm just amazed. Like, not just that you are willing to do all of this, because these are the types of things that people like me try to help people do, right? And there's so much that leaders hold on to, right? There's so much in terms of control or lessons that, well, this is how I was managed, right? And so, I mean, first of all, just kudos to you again, that not only are you doing it and like making it possible, but you're recognizing how strangely it might be difficult for people at first, you know? I see this a lot too with leaders who are in similar places as you, where they have this great mindset that they are everything that we want them to be, right? But they don't understand why their employees aren't stepping into the power that they're handing to them, right? I literally had a conversation with an incredible president of an agency not too long ago who was like, I'm here. I'm ready. I just need them to step into it. And it's so many of us grew up, quote unquote, you know, in the corporate world with such a different environment. So I think it's really remarkable that not only are you doing it, but you're recognizing that people aren't going to get it right away. And
yeah, it takes some coaching.
Yeah. I'm curious if there have been anyone who just, it didn't work for them. Like, I'm so used to the corporate environment that I have to go back to that because this is too unknown for me.
Yes. No, we do a really thorough job vetting through the interview process. Not to say that that won't be the case at some point in time. You know, we can't be 100% all the time, you know, and making sure that we're really aligned, but there have been a lot of conversations during the interview process about like what this actually looks like, what their own life looks like, and getting a good feeling for where they thrive. Because for example, I'm going to use the same person, but one of the people that I brought on that had been working the three jobs had a lot of similarities to how I myself had worked. She'd worked with me before, and she's a business owner. She has a photography business. And so she'd met me a few years ago by doing one of our courses. and we'd stayed in touch. And, you know, I'd gotten a feel for how she works and who she is and that she's an overachiever, which can be great, but it's easier to neck that down, I think, sometimes than to try and get someone to be autonomous, mm-hmm. at least for me and for how I work and for my communication style. The biggest issue that we've had is actually making sure that we have the right personality fit. So it's less about making sure that someone is able to communicate and be responsible, because we've gotten that kind of down pat. It's more because we're smaller right now. I still interface with everyone. Everyone on the team still interfaces with everyone on the team in some capacity, and making sure that we have personalities that fit together well. That has been the biggest challenge. And we've only had one person that wasn't like a fantastic fit, but it's figuring out for me, how can I suss that out ahead of time?
Absolutely. It's so interesting because we talk now about how important culture add is, right? Not just culture fit. And I have to imagine that, you know, this is kind of where your head could be, is that I don't just want someone to come in and say, yes, ma'am, right? I want someone to come in and like be able to work with us, but also be able to push back or bring new ideas.
Yep. Yeah. Or have you thought of, which I do really, I like that. I'm looking for people that are wanting to be leaders in their own right within what they're doing, leaders within their roles, you know? And I know there's the old, like, own the role. Yes and no. I think that puts a lot of pressure on someone, but like, you get to make this your own. But I'm not saying I've created these. I'm human. I'm fallible. Like, I do things my own way. I'm really open to, can we do it a better way? And if so, and especially if it doesn't impact me, by all means. And if it does impact me, like, let's have a conversation. And if it's still better, let's do it. Like, there's not a lot of ego wrapped up in doing things the way they've always been done, because that was one of my biggest complaints in corporate.
Absolutely. There's so much waste that exists when you just do things the way that they've already always been done. Yeah. So in addition to the 32-hour work week, are there other things that you are doing in the organization that you think are maybe a little bit off the beaten path that our wild hearts would be cheering for?
So, I mean, this would have been a little bit more groundbreaking prior to the pandemic, but all of our employees are remote. We have them spread over 3 states. I have my lovely executive assistant, who is the only one local to me. And the TikTok comments were so funny, because they're like, well, can't she work remote too? And I was like, she does. We meet up once a month. Like, yeah. She just needs to be local to me.
She doesn't live in your house with you.
Yeah,
right?
I sent it to my EA, and she was like, oh, thanks for their concern. But so we do that. Everyone's remote. Everyone sets their own hours within reason. You know, if you're working a Wednesday, like, I'm not here to approve it. It's just a, hey, this next week, like, we need to get a meeting together. Let me know what your schedule looks like and we'll do something. Not like, hey, I need to meet with you Wednesday at 9 a.m. Because I don't care. Like, let's make it happen. Flexible work schedule. So like, I don't care if they work Monday through Friday, if they work Wednesday through Sunday. I do have a preference that it's relatively consistent. Like, if you work Tuesday through Thursday, you know, kind of core days, great. Just let me know. If you're not ever going to work Tuesdays because you have a personal commitment that day, also fine. Like, we're able to communicate with clients. None of what we do expects the same day turnaround on anything. And we've set it up that way so that our clients know that A, they have a line to reach out to if there's ever anything truly urgent, but B, we prioritize, and that's why a lot of our clients work with us, is we value truly work-life balance. And that's a part of it. And they like that and support it. And so they're okay if it takes us a day to get back to them, because we're not sitting on our phones 24 hours a day. We also have right now performance coaching that they all have. They work with a wonderful human that I work with, and just to, not even within our business, but just how to really be in their own flow is what she does a lot of with them. Which I really like and I value. We're eventually going to be doing therapy reimbursement, but we're not there yet. I think that'll be our 2022. And I mean, not anything crazy, but we have a simple IRA, which I'm really excited about, being in the finance space. And the biggest thing is that I think we pay a full-time salary with less than full-time hours. And we foster open communication and true feedback. You know, I'm able to take negative feedback or take, hey, I can't have you going on to me, not to them. Hey, I can't have you going on vacation again and dropping off the face of the earth because I need X, Y, and Z until we've gotten those things off my plate. So a lot of it is me divesting myself from a lot of the day-to-day so that it's not something that I'm a bottleneck in anymore, which is a learning curve for me.
I was just about to say, I mean, that seems to be for leaders like yourself who have the right mindset, you still have to unlearn some things, you know, you still have to let go of some things. And I think that's a fairly common place where, you know, I wouldn't even say they get stuck. It just takes some time, right? And yeah. One of the things, what I'm working with clients that we talk about is that so many members of your team may have never been in a position to make these kinds of decisions before. So while they may be willing and excited to, you know, allow you to let go of some control, there's some teaching that takes place.
Yes.
And
we've done a lot of that.
And some things like, what data do I have that I take for granted?
Yep.
That they don't have access to, you know, that I'm going to need to
ask about. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, there's a lot of like having the conversation of, hey, as we get, there's not necessarily handholding, but walking alongside so that I can be a resource. Like, hey, I know this is new to you, but I really want to hear your ideas. Like, let's, you know, kind of see one, do one, teach one to an extent, but like take this and then ask the questions, because I know that there are a lot of things that I take for granted. A, because I built the business around my own processes and my own brain, and B, because there's just things that like I may have left out because I don't think, you know, I think it's A, B, and C, but really it's like A, M, and Z. And there's all those steps in between that they are able to point out. And I also will say, I'm a really big fan of having your team write SOPs when needed, instead of having, you know, the owner or the person that had owned it before write SOPs because of that exact thing. I think we have a tendency to leave out things because they're second nature.
Right. We just take them for granted for sure. Going back quickly to the TikTok, what was truly the impact of that on the business? Because, well, let me ask the question first and then I'll tell you why I'm asking.
So we tripled our newsletter or mailing list subscribers, I should say. We had over 1,000 people reach out who wanted to work with us or for us, I should say. We had, oh my God. I'm so glad I had just recently changed all of our potential client calls to Alicia before I had left for vacation. So she ended up, I mean, inundated, bless her soul. We ended up divvying them up wherever we could. But she was booked out 4 weeks with potential client calls, which was great, but very overwhelming. And we ended up, I mean, there was just such a huge influx on social media and our Facebook group. I mean, you and I chatted offline. My poor husband, who does all of the new Facebook group member, you know, acceptances, was not even able, he was able to keep the status quo. Like there were still hundreds of requests. And as he's like approving them, they were coming in as fast as he could approve them. So this massive growth of people that are really interested in what we do because of our company culture. And yes, the finance part of it is great, but it's been really interesting to have this influx of people that aren't there just for the finance side of it. They're there for like the overarching, you know, values that we espouse. And then like we talked about, we went mini viral again for 3 weeks after that, every week on the week. So we went viral Monday night into Tuesday. And then just about the time we get caught up, we have a breather over the weekend. It would happen all over again in a little bit smaller and a little bit smaller and a little bit smaller capacity. And I finally got to the end of that. And I was like, huh. And the team was like, can you please not go viral again? Like, can we plan it? And I was like, I wish that was the goal, but at least it didn't happen during tax season.
Oh my goodness. I cannot even imagine what that might've been like. So for folks who are not TikTok savvy, what is a number that is considered viral, or what, you know, what did that look like for you in terms of views? Or,
I mean, I'll pull it up in a minute because my regular TikToks, regular, since I post them so often, get like between 2,000 and 5,000 views. So, you know, I think I had something around the realm of like 4,000 followers, 5,000, somewhere in there. Now if we go, it's going to want to play something, of course. I have 52,500 followers, and that particular TikTok had 1.7 million views as of right now. 4,700 comments, and 8,200 shares, which is just, I mean, I think viral is relative, but viral in comparison to, you know, what all of my other views, it was just, yeah, it was mine. I mean, it was hundreds of times what a normal one would get.
And I only highlight that not because, you know, we all are validated by likes and shares, but my goodness, like it resonated, mm-hmm. right? Like people resonated with being treated like humans, you know? And I think there's something about that too, where as a consumer, as someone who might use your services, not only do I just think it's cool, right, that you would be that way with your team, but it probably tells me something about how you're going to treat me as a client as well, right? Because your values are your values, whether it's with, you know, your team or with your customers. With the potential clients that kind of came across, were they saying, yeah, I'm really interested because of...
About 50% of them, yeah, were really interested in working with us, particularly because of the company culture and the values that we hold. And the other 50%, I'm assuming probably that was something that they liked, but they also were like, oh my God, you do exactly what we need. This is so great. I've been looking for someone like you.
Amazing. Yeah. I'm really curious to, and I don't know that you and I can answer it in this podcast, but how much more that is going to become important post-pandemic. Because, you know, the whole great resignation, we talk about that a lot here on the podcast, the great reckoning is what I call it. You know, people recognize now that one, they have power, right? That they are deserving of being treated like a human. And then two, I think that's creating a movement of people who are pushing back on traditional methods. So then they're going to be attracted to, you know, companies like
less
yours.
Traditional, yeah.
Amazing.
You know, I'm really interested to see. I mean, we've already seen some of the changes just over the summer, which I think is part of why this resonated, is because it's just so much more on everyone's, you know, top of the mind. But I'm really excited. I think it's well past time that we, you know, actually have places where you want to work and you don't have, you're not working there because you have to and, you know, dealing with what comes. You're working there because at least some of what they have either A, works really well with your lifestyle, aligns with your values, you know, allows you to live a life that's outside of work as well.
And that's so aligned with what you do in terms of your services. You know, I mean, it all just sort of connects because your services in terms of financial support of people, you know, and helping them better understand their finances also creates freedom.
Absolutely.
And so I think there's just such a beautiful marriage of your corporate culture, quote unquote, and, you know, what it is that you offer as a product and a service. And I don't think that's super common, you know?
No. Yeah.
So what's next for Freelance CFO in the next like year or two? Not asking for your 5-year plan or anything, but.
Oh man. I mean, yeah, the 5-year plan, who knows at this point? We definitely are going to be hiring. I think probably a couple of more individuals. Our wonderful part-timers are just about ready to go full-time, which is great. But it means we don't have quite that, you know, absorption capacity for craziness. One of the biggest things that I'm excited for is something. I don't know exactly what it's going to look like yet, but when we had this huge influx of interest and people working with our company, it came, maybe come up with the idea that like, A, we can't hire 1,000 people right now. But B, there are other businesses that are interested in doing things, you know, like we're doing, and it may look differently. You know, it may be profit sharing. It may be, you know, having, being employee owned, but what does that look like? And how can we match up, you know, employees that are looking for something like this with employers that are interested in some sort of, you know, consulting service or how we did it or, you know, things that we've navigated. So that's definitely on the horizon in the next year. And then really just continuing to grow a lot of our course offerings. That's something that I'm really passionate about because I think that the more we can make finances accessible, the more power and the more freedom comes with that. And I think one of the easiest ways we can do that is by having lower cost offerings. And one of the easiest ways I can do lower cost offerings is, you know, courses and smaller programs so that people can start to build their financial knowledge.
Absolutely. I mean, when you have financial stability, whatever that looks like for you, then I hate to put it this way, but like the man no longer has control over you. You know, it doesn't mean you don't continue to work, but you can be selective, right?
Yes.
And you can wait for the right job when
yes.
you have
and advocate kind of,
yeah.
and negotiate and not constantly worry about if you don't get this job or if it gets turned down. There's a lot of power.
That is incredible. I love that so much. So where can people find you if they want to keep up with you and what your incredible company is doing?
I mean, TikTok, definitely not as active on there as I am on some other platforms. I'm working on it. I'm still a little bit traumatized, I think. traumatized in a good way, but still. So TikTok, Instagram, at Caitlin.Magnuson. And I, you know, really delve into a lot there. And then I have a free Facebook group that is Millennial Money Mastered. And those are some really great places just to kind of get a culture feel and, you know, be aware of like programs that we're launching and things that we're doing and, you know, participate and be a part of the community.
Amazing. And I will put all of those things in the show notes so that our listeners can find you. Yeah, this has been incredible, Caitlin. I am just so honored to have you on the podcast. You're my first TikTok viral star, which I feel like is a milestone for the podcast. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And just thank you for what you do. Again, I think it's so important to individuals in terms of the products and services that you offer. And then also the more people like you that build their businesses from the ground up with a human-centric focus, the more that others can't continue to hold the ground, right?
Yes.
Like we're creating a movement of these types of organizations. So thank you for being at the front of that movement.
Thanks for the recognition. It's very validating.
And listeners, thank you for joining us again this week. Again, this was Caitlin Magnuson with Freelance CFO, and we were so excited to have you here. For those of you listening, I just said that. For those of you listening, a reminder that we do have a Patreon. So if you're interested in supporting the show, go look that up in the show notes. But thank you for being here again this week. And until next time, dear hearts, stay wild.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Wild Hearts at Work. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and share. For more resources and to connect with Melissa, visit melissaboggs.com. Also, if you or someone you know is doing great work in a wild way, get in touch about being a guest on the show. Until next time.